In the name of Jesus, amen. Dr. Reuning has kindly consented to have this banner placed here. I thought since it's Friday, we would have a little bit of theological show and tell, because the banner so beautifully says what I want to say, and you ought to remember that. By the way, this seal on the banner, I'm talking now about the seal, was designed by the daughter of the sainted Dr. Martin Naumann, who died 20 years ago on Maundy Thursday while he was composing a sermon for that evening. But I'm sure that the ideas, though she did the actual designing, the ideas were his, and probably that of other faculty members at that time. I don't know, maybe Dr. Klug would know more about this that than I do. Anyway, on the left, Kayrickson Ton Lugon, preach the word that hardly needs explanation to a Lutheran. Then to the right, what do you preach? Well, down below the world, which represents all of mankind, then above it, the serpent, and above the serpent, the cross. And of course, the serpent denotes the fall of man, and the cross, of course, the redemption of man, and both pertain to all mankind. Incidentally, the other day I was visiting Dr. Stalky. He just turned 87. By the way, those of you who know him, go visit him. He needs visitors. He's had a couple of strokes, and he's in a nursing home on North State Street, and he just needs all the company he can get. But anyway, I mentioned to him that I was going to talk about this in a sermon, and he said to me, it's very difficult for him to speak. You have to be patient with him. But listen to him. He said to me, and which indicates that his mind is just as sharp as ever, he said, I think that on the seal, the head of the serpent should be crushed. Well, I said to him jokingly, that would be kind of a mess on the seal. But you know, that's worth thinking about. And then I said to him, well, but as it is the serpent is presented as he was at that time, it was the promise. And yes. And then we both agreed that, however, remarkably enough, the promises of God in the Old Testament were just as effective for Old Testament believers as are the passages of fulfillment in the New Testament. Now, I think we kind of forget that. Sometimes I think we kind of think of, when we think of the fall of man, the only thing that happened there that day is that they became sinners, and that God kind of dragged his feet for a couple of thousand years until Genesis 12, when he made his covenant with Abraham, in thee and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. But as many theologians from the early days of the church have pointed out, you have the first promise of the gospel in verse 15, which was read a minute ago, of Genesis 3. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel, is surely the promise of the Savior who would be born of the Virgin Mary. Incidentally, when God cursed the snake because of the use that Satan had made of him, he said, of course, as you know, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. Every time we see a snake, I don't care whether it's venomous or not, what we should think of is not only the fall of man, but also the salvation of man, because God there promised that he would crush the serpent's head, meaning that Satan would be crushed, and that all men thereby would be saved. Have you ever noticed the similarity between this passage in Genesis and "a mighty fortress is our God"? People have been wondering ever since Luther wrote that great hymn what his text was. Well, some say Psalm 46, others say no, it's more than that. Well, I think he had this text in mind too, because much of "a mighty fortress," I mean the TLH version, not the LW version. I mean, Dr. Resch will agree with me wholeheartedly, because the TLH version, it really gives you what the German said. And in that hymn, Luther takes Satan by the jugular. He isn't afraid of him because he is armed with the Word of God, right? He's armed with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. When you see a snake, think of Luther's words. He's judged. The deed is done. The universal gospel was preached by God himself right after the fall. That day was a day of bad news. Bad news. But it was also a day of good news, because the church was born on that day. Now, the New Testament text. I won't keep you very long. I'm not going to read the whole thing. Just part of it. There is no difference. There is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That means, in simple English, all have sinned and therefore now are without God's approval. Approval. God does not approve of mankind. He doesn't approve of you and me. I don't care how much Greek you know or what. He doesn't approve of us. Come. And now come. I've got to mention exegesis. You'll understand what I'm going to say. There's a circumstantial participle follows dikai eumenoi, and when you have a circumstantial participle in the present tense, it denotes the same time as the leading verb. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. When was mankind justified? In Eden, at the time when he sinned, at that moment, God promised the Savior, and that the promise was effective, we know, because the family was converted. Eve even thought that when Cain was born, that it was the Messiah, and of course, what a shock when she found out what Cain was really like. And we know, of course, that Abel was a believer, and faith is always faith in Christ, and Hebrews tells us that by faith Abel offered a more acceptable sacrifice than did his brother Cain. Luther translates this passage like this: all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, but they are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The New English Bible, which usually isn't very good, listen to this: all alike have sinned and are deprived of the divine splendor, and all are justified by God's grace alone. Yes. 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 There are two respects in which there is no difference among all men, and that is that all have sinned and therefore lack God's approval, but all are justified through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now, I know it doesn't do them any good until they hear it. Like the Emancipation Proclamation on January 3rd, 1863. You know, Alex Haley's book, Roots. There's a there's a scene in there where a little girl runs out in the fields and tells the slaves who are hoeing or whatever they were doing, "We's free! The president has freed us!" And they all drop their hoes and walk off of the field. Now, the Emancipation Proclamation freed all slaves. Okay? But it didn't do them any good until they heard the message. For faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. When you preach the gospel, you don't require anything of anybody. You just tell them what God in Christ, being justified freely through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. I want to tell you just one little story. It's Friday. I'll tell you a little story. I was on the mission field when I first went into the ministry, and I was a lot greener than I am now. But anyway, I was in Nigeria, and I was worked among the Igbos about 80 miles from headquarters. And we used to go down to headquarters once a month for a day to have a mission meeting, mostly a gripe session, just to get together and laugh a little bit. This hard work. And we would come together and bring our cases of impossible casuistry. And nobody would ever give us an answer. It was just a chance to tell somebody our woes, our problems. And then Superintendent Reverend Bill Schweppe of the Wisconsin Synod, the superintendent at that time, he would always say, now just remember, fellas, I know they're all miserable sinners. We all know that. But look, they've all been justified. And that's the message you've got to get there. And no matter how mangy they may look to you, you hammer away at that message. For faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. Mankind fell in Eden, but that day the church was born. And the believers will be gathered in until the last day, when the last one is gathered in. And so I've said enough. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Amen.